Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Jordan is on best. Harper's on Miller.
They play together, they believe. And Caris LeVert is cold.
LeVert, back in. Speed.
Oh, he's a one-man wrecking crew.
Holiday, shot clock down to six. Finds Warren.
Welcome to another edition of the Indy Cornrows Podcast. This is your host, Mark Schindler. As always, before we get started today, if you have not already, please be sure to rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts. We always want to hear from you and get your feedback. I'm really psyched to be joined by a friend of mine and also soon to be Missouri's most eligible bachelor, Ben Pfeiffer. Ben, how are you doing today, man?
Hey, you.
Hey, man, if you're going to put it on Twitter, I can put it on a podcast.
So.
Close enough.
I'm doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on. It's been like a year since we did this last
time. Dude, I know it's been a while. Actually, you were the first person I ever did any draft correlated stuff with.
Really?
So, Wow. Yeah, you could say that you put me onto this because now it's consuming like the majority of my waking hours, but it's fantastic and I love it.
It can certainly be all consuming.
That's a great point. Like, there's like so many things that you can watch
and wake up thinking like big board debates. It's like, no, I should have this guy over this guy. And then you wake up and you're like, no, what the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. And then you like read somebody's article and you're like, oh, you know, I missed like six things. Like, what if I didn't miss those next time around? Like, it's kind of funny. It feels like playing like Fallout or some shit. Like I'm always walking around picking up new things to kind of, you know, try and apply to what I'm doing and throwing out shit that doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, or that just doesn't apply, but it's fun as hell, man.
That's a nice metaphor.
Yeah. I actually used a Fallout metaphor in a piece. Yeah. It was great stuff. But how are things on your end, man? What's been up with you?
I'm doing pretty well. I've enjoyed my time off, more relaxed. I've also enjoyed my basically like Netflix binge of this class. I've obviously had like priors and I know about almost all these guys, but it's been fun just like hyper speeding through everyone and just like asking my smart friends to fill in the gaps. It's been interesting, but it's cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. Trying to get acquainted with this draft class has been fun. Like you, you start off, like, I can't even remember what the first game I watched was. Like the more you start watching, the more you get better acquainted with everything that's going on and like understanding who's doing what, where, when. And now it helps because I know going forward, I'm just going to try and watch games every single week so that I'm not like this behind when I get to the actual draft time. But I feel like on top of everything now, but it's
kind of fun being behind and like blowing through everything. It's like,
it is a little
it's
bit
like a challenge. It's like when you procrastinate your essay or something.
Every
like
single paper I ever did in college. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the way to put it. Well, we're here because we need to have a conversation about Franz Wagner out of the University of Michigan, because I think there are a lot of really odd a lot of odd misconceptions about him as a prospect. The more that I've watched him, the less I've understood where certain people are coming from on him. I think he's going to be really freaking good. We can, you know, talk a little bit more about looking at floor and ceiling and all of that. But overall, I just think like some of the comparisons that he's drawn have been unfair. Like I know there's a decent sect of people in Indiana that are like, no, he reminds me too much of TJ Leaf. I'm like, well, the only thing that is very TJ Leaf about him is that he's white. There's like literally no comparison to their game other than that.
They're both
one can dribble, one cannot dribble, one can pass, one cannot pass.
Is there anything that TJ Leaf has ever done better than Franz?
I don't think so. Maybe like playing with Lonzo Ball, but I think that's the only thing that's been.
And like Franz difference. Could like hypothetically like eclipse that if he gets lucky.
Exactly, like he could end up as a Pelican. Who knows? But I mean, you have a certain affinity for Franz too, and I think anybody who watches him for a certain amount of time does. I mean, taking him with the 13th pick, which is where the Pacers are at now, he slotted to them on a lot of mock boards. That would not be a mistake in the slightest. And there's a lot to talk about with him. I think where we could start is looking at, initial upside with him and how you view him in the league. Because for me, he stands out as somebody who, you know, not to just like, you know, throw together a bunch of different conglomerations of what he's going to be. But to me, he's awesome combo forward who can do pretty much anything. He's scheme versatile on defense. He does quality stuff at the point of attack, has great lateral quickness, can even show some help side rim contests. Like, he does pretty much anything you could ask of him defensively, which is, again, absolutely nothing like TJ Leaf. While also doing
on TJ Leaf. I've always had a soft spot for TJ Leaf.
I don't hate TJ Leaf. Even I think if he's not, he got a I've lot always, of hate. But
I once, when I was a kid, since for those who don't know, I am a Pacers fan. I've covered the Pacers for a long time before I, you know, shifted away. I did DM TJ Leaf on Instagram and he did reply to me. So I always love TJ Leaf for that. So
that's awesome, man. That's so random. Why did you DM TJ Leaf?
I have no idea. I just randomly DM'd him like breakout season incoming. And he was like, thanks, bro.
That's awesome, man. Shit. You damned him to the G League. That's Hey, I mean, he ended the year with Portland, so there's something. But yeah, with Franz.
I did not even know he was not on the Pacers anymore.
No, yeah, he got traded to Oklahoma City and cut.
Oh, I do remember that trade. Yeah. And then I'm way out of the loop.
Yeah. No, it was a rocky year for TJ Leaf. It was a rocky year for the NBA in general. But
yes.
So Franz automatically to me, it's the defensive baseline, stands out a ton. And then he does a ton offensively that we'll dive into as well. But just ultimately his role archetype is kind of like a connective wing who you view as just a floor raiser, or floor raiser is the wrong way to put it because that sounds negative, but like just in general, like somebody who's going to amplify stars around him. At least that's my initial takeaway on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's generally like underrated as a defensive prospect. Like, he is like grouped with a lot of the other 3-and-D wings in this class. He is very much above them. Like, Franz is massive. He's a genius. His tools, like I said, his all-around physical tools are really impressive, which I don't think he gets enough credit for. Like, again, like extremely large and like looks massive. Like, every inch of 6'9", honestly, I could buy him being 6'10". Long as hell, gets off the floor really quickly, which is kind of a very important physical tool for weak side rim protectors, which Franz, I think, definitely will excel at. Like you said, really great laterally. Extremely smart team defender, was what we'll get into. And then offensively, like, definitely has his issues in terms of wiring and aggression, and you know, some physical tools related deficiencies, but just, you know, again, really smart, should be a good shooter, good to great shooter. Like you said, a very good, like, additive, connective wing, who I'd bill as a ceiling raiser more as a floor raiser. Just because, like, I think, you know, like, you throw Franz on a bad team and, like, he's not helping you. At least, I mean, offensively, I mean, he'll help defensively in any role on any team. But, you know, you throw him offensively on a bad team without real creators and he's not going to do much for you. But I think, like you said, if you throw him on a team with, you know, star creators or star big wings or star big men who can really generate offense, then he's going to be awesome. So, yeah, Franz is a fantastic prospect. And he's super young. He's also freshman age. So.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting too, because a lot of people will probably say, like, well, he's related to Mo, so how good can he be? He's a much better prospect than Mo was. Like, yes. Way better. Probably, I mean, just overall has much better skill and craft of the ball, better passer.
They're just way different better players. Passer.
Yeah, there's very little comparison to make between them besides the name. So let's talk about the offense first, because I do want to get positive and talk about the defense, but the offense is where I have the most questions. Like you mentioned already in talking about wiring and some of the aggression, like, for people who are, you know, not familiar with some of those terms, like, more looking at when a guy is presented with an option or opportunity with the ball, how do they attack it? So, like, one of Franz's biggest issues right now is, like, I'll put this in the article description down below. But in looking at him, like, he'll get the ball with like 10 feet of space, and he'll look to swing it immediately instead of just taking a shot himself. He took 3.5 threes per game this last year. That could have easily been 5 or 6 threes per game if he really wanted to get more up. So I think that's kind of one of the things right now, where in terms of looking at wiring and aggression, there are questions like, how is that going to change at the NBA level?
Yeah. I mean, he is just not as aggressive as you want him. I mean, being passive isn't inherently a bad thing. And I think it definitely works for his like connector archetype, because he's the type of player who like will hunt the best shot. Like, I'm sure
he has a lot of academy brain. He's like Teo Maledon, but 6'9". So it's like, yeah.
He's a lot better than Teo Maledon.
Well, yeah. But I mean, in terms of like, I don't want to shoot.
If Teo was 6'9", he'd probably be a pretty damn good prospect, actually.
Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure like many of you would have seen that like Suns possession last night or the other night that had like a million passes. And like, I was looking at that, this is Franz's heaven. Like,
yeah.
Franz wants to be on that floor, but definitely does come with the trade-off. Like, there's so many instances where he will catch a ball with like 4 feet of space and won't shoot. Like you've clipped on Twitter recently, or like I've clipped and we've talked about plenty, or like he'll have like a cleared out floor with a smaller defender and just, you know, will either like jab and then, you know, end up passing out and won't be aggressive there. I'm like, Franz's creation tool are definitely limited. Like, he's not bursty. He doesn't really have any advanced handle, but he's like extremely large, and can shoot. And like, if he can just like get to his spot and like release like 9-foot push shots, like he will do good things. Like, Franz is often like releasing at the rim. Like, he releases his shots 10 feet in the air. I'll keep saying this, but he is enormous, and like, he often, like, I feel like he doesn't realize it. I've said this plenty, but like, I wish I could like fusion dance Rocco Procaccini's wiring onto Franz, which, for those who don't know, like, Rocco is the type of dude who like,
he throws up some bullshit, man,
like, wants to kill everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, he will attempt to dunk on like literally whoever is in front of him, no matter how audacious. Like, if he catches the ball with like an inch of airspace, he's shooting it. Like, he will fire. And like, he's like a far inferior shooter to Franz. Like, Franz, it's interesting, because like his threes per 100 dropped by 2 this year. Like, he was by threes, he was taking 9.2 threes per 100 last year, which is really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, his role increased a little bit this year, but it didn't really change. I think like the meaning of that is probably closer to his actual threes per 100 attempts, which is like still very good for a guy his size. You know, is a great free throw shooter. Like, if he can get the volume up, like, there's no real reason he shouldn't be a very, very good shooter. But I think the offense that he's not definitely hurts him. Because again, like, you can't just be squandering advantages. And I think Franz, you know, in terms of development, is gonna have to get better at that. With the wiring, in terms of like not squandering advantages. Because he's just like so like get the best shot available oriented, that oftentimes that leads to, you know, getting a worse shot than would have been like a Franz slightly contested catch and shoot three, or like a pull-up mid. Or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's such a great point, because like, even just going and watching the Florida State game, like, they beat the shit out of Florida State, but there are moments in the game throughout, like, you can tell he's getting soft closeouts, and I'm like, that's not a closeout he's getting in the NBA, because like, I think it was Anthony Pulite closed out on him, and it was a bad closeout, but Franz just pumped and goes. And I'm like, well, you're not getting that in the NBA, because if a team is going, like, especially in the playoffs, at least they're going to see you, they know that you're not going to shoot right away, and it's like, okay, well, we're not going to close out hard on you. We're going to force you to shoot.
Yeah. If Franz isn't shooting, like, that's the issue. Like you said, like he's going to stop getting those closeouts. Like, he's just not going to close out hard. Like, even if he's shooting like 39% from three, if it's on low volume, like we've seen players like this in the past, like these fake shooters, like James Ennis, like Glenn Robinson types, who like maybe like 39-40% from three, but just like won't shoot the ball. And teams just like don't have to exhaust their resources closing out, because they'll just gamble on better options. And I think a definite issue with Franz, like, Franz's next shot hunting is, like, I think he's also vulnerable to being run off the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you like run him hard off the line and like force him to pass, I could definitely see issues, because his finishing isn't wonderful either. But again, I think a lot of these are remediable with one, like just kind of getting him to take more risks, just in general. But yeah, like those closeouts, like you said, I'm just like you said, either he has to fix his willingness to chuck, or he's not going to get those, because like he definitely needs to draw those type of closeouts. And if he can be very effective.
Yeah, and I know like a lot of people just look at his shooting numbers and they're like, oh, well, he can't be that good of a shooter. And I think I would point out too, he had a really great shooting track record when he was still in Europe, and the free throw shooting's always been very good. So I'm not really too worried about the shot translating. It's just going to be more about, like we're talking about, like getting it off more and being more comfortable with it. Because even then, like looking, like his shot preparation is good. Like he's good at staying in a stance. He's good at moving his feet. He doesn't cross himself up. It's just actually taking it. That's going to be.
I don't really have any issues with his actual jumper. Like I'm not like a jumper mechanics guy, but like, I think you definitely learn over time, like, you know, what's bad, at least like, you know, learn to identify issues. And like Franz Lee doesn't have any, like you said, but like his base is good. His energy transfer is smooth. Like it works off of a variety of actions. It's just a good, it's a pretty looking shot.
Yeah, definitely.
Like he just needs to trust it. Like,
yeah, the trust is going to be a big part. Speaking of trust, though, how do you feel about his rim finishing? Because you mentioned it a little bit. Like, it was weird watching, because defensively, he gets air so much better defensively than he does on offense. Like almost every rim attempt I watched was completely below the rim. Like he tries a lot of underhand stuff he tries to get around defenders a lot more than through them, which part of that is just his size. Like I think like we mentioned, he's 6'9", but he's like probably 210-215 and pretty lean right now. And I honestly don't know how much room there is for his frame to grow. Like there's probably some, but at the same time he's already like decently filled out right now. And you never know how, like I think just adding mass is like one of the most overrated things ever, as the 90s would tell you. But
it's hard to do and hard to predict.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't know how it's going to change things biomechanically if you add a bunch of weight on.
Yeah.
How do you view his finishing right now? I feel like partially I look at it in terms of, okay, well, he's not going to be an awesome at rim finisher, but he's 6'9". So like having size helps with being better at the rim, I guess, but
yeah, it's but like I'm not really sure how much it matters for his role. Like he's not going to be asked to like be a high volume rim finisher. I do think there's like quite a bit of low hanging fruit for him to improve there. I mean, like you said, he is like extremely large and has great touch, but like all of like the craft and like wiring stuff is bad. I think the leaping is just because like he never jumps off of two when he's attempting to finish, because he doesn't have like the footwork or preparation to get into it. Like you watch someone like Jaden Springer play. Who like isn't that explosive off of one, but is like nuclear off of two, and he's always like half stepping. I mean, he does it like, you know, he overuses it. Like he does it like every single play. Like he like gets into his half step, just gets himself into situations where he can be the most explosive, and Franz doesn't do that. Like you said, like he tries to like go around very like vanilla, like 1-2 footwork. He does that like sweeping hook, which I absolutely hate. That he definitely stole from Xavier Simpson. The difference is that like he's 10 inches taller than Xavier Simpson and doesn't have the sweeping hook to get shots over his defenders. You'll never see him like, he's frail, but he's large and like has good enough functional strength to like, he can throw in like a bump euro or just change his angle to draw contact and get into a defender. Like you rarely see him going for contact. Like when it's presented to him, I think he's okay, like absorbing contact and finishing, but like he rarely seeks it. Just so limited in terms of like craft and aggression there, in terms of creating his own angles as a finisher. But like one, like he's never going to be a guy who's like asked to self-create finishes a lot. And like he's going to get cuts, closeout attacks, secondary pick and rolls with, you know, where he can manipulate help hopefully and open up his finishing. And like you said, like he's very large and has great touch. So he's not going to be a bad finisher. I don't think it matters that much for his role, but like he definitely is going to be like okay, I think, like okay enough in time. But it's not a strength of his at the moment for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like you mentioned too, I think that's another interesting aspect to talk about that people aren't realizing if they're not watching games consistently, and that's like Franz is going to be able to run pick and roll in the NBA. It's not like you're not going to give him a heavy dose of it, but I think that's one of the things when I first watched him, and I mean, I obviously hadn't watched him yet throughout the year. When you see him, like, he's an adept pick and roll ball handler for his size, and considering where his handle is at, like, he's really good at going east west. He's very good at switching hands to keep his dribble alive and not get the ball knocked out. I love what he's able to bring that way. He's good with some interior passes. Like, I think this is going to be a real weapon for him at the next level, that people probably aren't accounting for as much as they maybe should.
Yeah, Fonz is a really spectacular passer for his size. I don't think he's like a high level passer. Like, there's, mm-hmm. I mean, this class is like, I think normally he'd be like one of the best tall passers in his class. Like,
this pass, yeah, this class is special. So,
like, he happens to be in a class with Cade and Giddy and Scotty. I'd say he's like comparable, like, to Jalen Johnson as a passer. His biggest issues as a passer is, I mean, aside from just like not having like any real like manipulation or like high level passing skills, is he's just too risk averse. As I think you'll often see him like pass up more difficult pass attempts in terms of either like a worse pass or like a worse shot that isn't a turnover. Like, you'll see him, let's say he gets like a second side pick and roll with, you know, Michigan's offensive, Juwan Howard's offense is cruel and just eviscerates college defenses with all of his different actions, like guard to guard screens, like multiple pre-screen pick and roll actions. They're like the sons of college basketball in terms of their pick and roll offense, for anyone listening. I mean, different, but the same, just like abject cruelty. So Franz is a guy who, let's say he comes off of a second side pick and roll. Excuse my dog, but let's say he comes off of a second side pick and roll, and he's like, he has a tagger. Like, oftentimes, if the tagger is in decent position, like, let's say like there's a pass to the wing on a lift, a pass to, or a maybe more difficult pass inside to the roller, like, he won't choose either. And he'll either pass out or like take a worse shot himself. I think I want to get into the idea that turnovers aren't bad, especially for young guard and young playmaker prospects. I think there's this idea that like turnovers are bad. And I want turnovers in my young playmaker prospects because that means they're trying difficult passes. And the only way they're going to get better at making those decisions and, you know, more efficient with their reps is by doing them. I think the ideal prospect like profile is like high assist, high turnovers. Like, I want Franz turning the ball over more is his issue. Because when he does like try contact passes, like, he can hit pocket passes, like, he can hit skip passes. He'll have like really impressive like wrap around interior passes, like flinging balls around bigs, like falling out of bounds. His length opens up passing angles as well. Because of that length, he can fit balls into windows that other players just can't reach, you know, along with his height enabling the same thing. He can see over the defense because he's extremely tall. I think he's definitely like a risk-averse passer, which, again, like, is okay in some settings. But I think if he's a guy you want like running any sort of volume of pick and roll or secondary passing action, then you want to see him more consistently attempting those more difficult passes because he can do it and he does try them, but it's just not as often as I'd like. But I mean, for his role in height, like, he is a very, very good passer. And like, again, probably under discussed, like, how good of a passer he is.
Yeah, exactly. Cause I think people just see the numbers and like, oh, only three assists per game, like, whatever, nothing crazy, but like, he pulls out some awesome stuff. Like you mentioned, the pocket passing is fantastic when he actually whips it out. Like, it's very good. And I want to just hit on that too, because you mentioned like having guys, like, you want guys to get turnovers. Like, it's almost better for an offense sometimes, or just in my mind, just better for development in general too. Like,
yeah,
you want to bend a defense. You don't just want to keep passing around and finding, like, it's good to keep kicking the ball around and get an open shot. But at the same time, if you're really going to affect a defense at a high level, you have to be able to break it at some point. You can't just keep bending it and hoping it, like, it's defenses that are good enough can keep reforming if you're just bending it consistently instead of finding a way to actually break it down. And like, one of the great ways of looking at it is like DeMar DeRozan. Like, I love DeMar DeRozan, but people always are like, well, he's got like this awesome assist to turnover ratio. I'm like, well, part of that is he's not like he makes really high level reads and really high level passes, but it's not like he's not making a cross corner kick out all the time and stuff like that. Like sometimes it's just, he'll bend the defense, gets a wide open three and okay, hopefully it goes in, but it's not always like something that's going to completely kill a defense. And it's not like, this is not to say that DeMar is like a bad passer or anything. He's fantastic playmaker, but like, point being, you want guys who are going to go out there and try to kill a defense, not just like give it opportunities to reset.
Yeah, it's like the all-time turnover leader is LeBron. Like,
yeah,
he, like, and it's not because LeBron is a bad decision maker or like can't dribble. It's because he will like try to sneak passes into windows that aren't there, and you know, because he's LeBron, he gets them, you know, more than he doesn't. But because he's gonna play 20 years, so like rack up 5,000 turnovers. That's again not a problem, just because of the way he plays. And in order to hit those high value layup passes, and high value skips, but I think of this most, it's like the difficult interior passes. Some of them are going to be misses, and that's just all right. Especially in the context of development, where like for Franz, like yes, like Franz is the type of player who wants to win and like is wired to like do whatever it takes to win. Like, I mean, kind of like Mobley and kind of like Cade, you know, once was concerned to be, where it's like all right if you don't win, because like that's not Franz, like that shouldn't be Franz's ultimate goal. Like you know, just because, yeah, sure, he saves a turnover and kicks out to Isaiah Livers, who hits like a semi-contested three, that's technically a win, but I would much rather see him try and fail like a tough interior delivery, because that's just more beneficial for his game as a passer in the future.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's the kind of stuff that the Pacers need, honestly. Like, how confident are you that he could maybe grow out of that at the next level? Because that's something that I've been trying to decipher and like figure out, like, all right, well, like that's the hardest part in projecting stuff with the draft right now for me. Like, okay, well, how confident am I that this guy's actually going to be able to grow out of that at the next level, or to be, you know, coached to do something differently, or just, you know, in his mind be like, all right, I'm going to do this differently. Cause I think that's you know, trying to determine what somebody's wiring might adjust, or if it won't adjust, is like that part's really hard.
I mean, I can't give you a definitive answer because it depends on a lot of factors. It depends on his development, how committed a team is to doing the right things with him, you know, teaching him right, getting him reps. I mean, I think if you were to go to the Pacers, like Carlisle is probably as good as a bet. Even though, like, I think Carlisle kind of is a thing where he's like, he can be like, he can have a short leash with young players. But I think, you know, just in terms of like having a coach for development, you know, I think that's probably a good spot for him. Yeah, like I said, you just want his team or coaching staff to have him do these reps and try these more complex actions and give him a license to fail, which I definitely do think, you know, it's kind of a missed opportunity, because yes, like while he could, like, you know, in the league, or maybe he like play some time in the G League, which again, not like a bad thing or like a slight, like, you know, it helps a lot of players.
Yeah,
I think Franz, you know, get some more reps as a ball handler and improve there. So, I mean, I definitely think it can be improved. To what extent, I'm not sure. Like, he's never going to be like a super like risk taker. I just don't think you can like flip your wiring that much. But I definitely think, you know, in a lot of instances, wiring can be changed. Like this is a different issue. Like for guys who just like won't attack the rim, like college Ant Edwards, like college KPJ. You'll see like in the league that can be altered, when especially like when role changes and when expectations change. So I do think there's you know there's room for Franz to grow there, though I just don't know to what extent, really. I mean, yeah. I just don't know.
Like,
I don't
think. I mean, you never know. It's just like, yeah, anything could happen, but I'm hoping for the best for sure. Another aspect I want to hit on before we hit defense and lastly is looking at like self-creation a little bit. Obviously he's not a guy who you're expecting at all to be a primary. Like, I don't want to, no shit, but like he does flash a little bit of stuff in the post that I kind of like. It's not amazing. He goes to a fadeaway occasionally. But like, I kind of like it because it's the sort of thing where it's like, if you can have a little bit of something in your bag, like I just like having players who can come in, like, if you're coming in with some kind of on-ball reps or some kind of creation flashes, it's at least something that, like, all right, maybe there's an opportunity to build on it at the next level. Like if you don't get to the rim, like you could just do what Tennessee or Villanova always do and just protect the possession. Yeah. Well, just kidding. Don't actually do that. But
no, yeah,
it's terrible to watch. I hate watching.
Especially Tennessee. Like at least Nova, like it works and looks pretty because they have like a pristinely spaced floor and movement. But like Tennessee's like playing four bigs, and yet their guard, like Jaden Springer, wants to post up anyway. And I'm just like, why do you, like, Rick, why do you tell your players to do this?
We do this? Yeah, it's
like, no. Why must you coach them this way? Like, this is not a thing these players did before they got to you.
Strictly vibes, man. It's all about the vibes. But I do like that Franz has flashed some of that. And like, what do you think about his ability just to, like, you know, maybe put the ball on the deck and take an 18 footer or to, you know, if he does get presented with an opportunity to attack a mismatch?
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Yeah, I think, again, it's just going to come down to Franz being large and a very good shooter. Like, I want Franz taking more pull-ups, like you said. Like when he takes, like, step backs and pull-up threes, like, it looks good and it works. Because he's got great form, great touch, and he can shoot over guys. I think it's definitely, like, height is an underrated indicator for pull-up shooting progression, just because it makes it easier to get shots off and to get reps. Because, like, Franz has to work a lot less hard to work on his pull-up jumper than someone like Sharice Cooper, for example, just because of that height difference and the release difference. Like, and the way contests impact, like, obviously, like NBA shooters are incredible and, like, contests don't bother them the way, you know, they bother most humans, but, like, contests from good defenders obviously matter, and the less you can be impacted by them, I think the better for development, especially, and Franz is, you know, someone who's, I don't think, is that impacted by contests just because he's so large and can release the ball high and quickly. So I think in terms of self-creation, that's kind of the best bet, is that, like, he becomes somewhat of a pull-up shooter. I don't really think he's ever going to be someone who generates any sort of easy shots at the rim. It's like not wired or built as like a free throw rate guy. Like I said, I think post-ups against maybe smaller guys, like potentially if you want to throw a guard on him, like he can probably do it. Cause, and I think that still goes back to the shooting over people component. Yeah. I think just, you know, figuring out if he can figure out how to use the size and strength he does have to generate space, and then just use his height and hopefully develop a pull-up shooter. To me, that's like his path as a self-creator. But again, I don't really think that's anything he's ever asked to do much. And if he never becomes even close to a decent self-creator, I don't think it really matters. Like, it's not salient for his role.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like, I mean, it's something that you hope for. Like, all right, if you have like a little bit of something, awesome. But, you know, if not, still awesome.
Yeah, it would be very much just like an added bonus. Like, yeah, you certainly don't need it for Franz to be a great NBA player.
Definitely. So actually, I did think of another thing I want to hit on before defense. Looking at him athletically is, I think, important. Like, in terms of, like, our mutual friend, Jake Rosen, wrote a really great piece over at the Stepien on trying to look at athleticism in different ways. And I think that's how in terms of looking at Franz, like, I think a lot of people would watch him play and be like, oh, he's not that athletic. And while I would say he's not like the most athletic guy, he does have some pretty damn good movement skills for somebody his size. Like, just overall, number one, he's got great balance, which is so important, especially if you're a bigger player. And also, like, I mean, his footwork is insanely good. That's not necessarily athleticism, but just in general, like, one of my favorite parts about him, and part of what helps him unlock being a good lateral mover, is that he never crosses his feet up when he's moving on the perimeter. Like, there are so many guys, like, I remember scouting Cassius Stanley last year. Like, Cassius Stanley might be one of the most laterally quick dudes I've ever seen, but he crosses his feet all the time. So it's almost like looking at, like, if you have a poor handle, like, you kind of negate a lot of the advantages you can create, even if you have good burst. Like, if you're a lateral mover and your footwork is shit, you're not really that good of a lateral mover. And Franz does not have that issue. And, like, mixing that in terms of having his length as well, like, that's a huge aspect of what he's able to do. Like, I think he's going to be capable of, I think throwing out just like switchy defender is annoying, but like, he's a guy who could be a switchy defender and probably will be at the next level. But like, in terms of looking at his athleticism, like, what kind of stands out to you in showing, like, hey, this guy's not TJ Leaf, or, you know, not just like any random white dude that people are afraid he's going to be coming to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, Franz isn't a run jump athlete, and that's what, again, like, our boy, little bro, Jake Rosen, like, you know, and many other have touted, like, that's what generally people are referring to when they say athleticism. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not bursty, and he doesn't do cool dunks very often. First of all, like I said, he is a good vertical athlete by way of load time, which is, I think, for a weak side rim protector, especially one with his length, more important than just pure explosion. Mm-hmm. Like, Franz gets off the floor immediately off of 2 feet, which is, you know, the thing that's gonna be most important as a rim protector, because it's much easier to set yourself and, like, pre-hop into a jump on defense than it is on offense. And because he can get up so fast, he can, you know, react quickly and block shots as a weak side rim protector. And like you said, his movement skills are awesome. Like, he is a ground coverage machine, not to the extent of, like, Devin Vassell, or, like, rest in peace, TJ Shannon.
Unfortunately. Don't remind me. Yeah. Please don't remind me. You don't have to do that. I mean, dude, Henry and I recorded a pod the day of, and then he announced that he was going back to Texas Tech, like, 2 hours after. It was very sad. But yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he is, you know, Franz is, like, ground coverage is so important in the modern NBA, because, like, modern offense is predicated on, like, forcing closeouts, creating advantages all over the floor, and Franz negates that. I did a Franz stream, Let's Watch Film with PD Webb. If you haven't watched that, I definitely recommend go watching that for, you know, a different angle on Franz, you know, watching a game with us. That was a great time. But I think one of the things that Pete really harped on is that, like, Franz's best skill is truly his ability to play in, like, two-on-ones to defend disadvantage. And a big part of that is his movement skill. And, like, we'll get into it. Like, he moves so well for his size. Like you said, the footwork, just the way he navigates space. He's so good changing directions in short and big spaces, which is pretty rare. Like another great, like, wing defender, like Aaron Henry, is, like, not very good changing directions in big spaces. Like Scotty Barnes struggles to me a bit in small spaces. Like, it's a really rare thing for these defenders to be so good at both. And Franz is just that good. And like you said, I mean, we'll get into more. Like, he is so good at reattaching, like, after against screens, because of that footwork and the lateral movement. Like, even when he is beat by screen, because he definitely is. You know, prone to getting walled off because he's pretty frail. Like, he's no Zaire Williams in terms of getting flattened. But he definitely can get, you know, screens can do a number on him, but he's so good at reattaching, using his length and his footwork and his lower body. He's so good at defending with his lower body too. Like, you'll see a lot of young point of attack defenders, like, defend with their upper body and their arms too much, like shifting their weight forward or swiping. Or being overly reactive, whereas Franz, like, dictates offensive player movement with his lower body, like using, like, thigh checks and hip rotations to be proactive as a point of attack defender. And that's, like, not even a strong suit. Like, he's got his limitations as a point of attack defender. I think he's kind of switchy, like you said. I mean, he definitely struggles with quickness, despite having amazing recovery tools, like amazing recovery tools. He definitely struggles to me with quickness, and will get overwhelmed by stronger dudes. Like, he is a little bit too, like technique happy to me at times. Like, and like in the LSU game, like, he defended Trendon Watford a lot, And like he got put in the rim more times than you'd like, just because he was like defending with his like hands straight up. Or if he was, you know, being more aggressive, I think he could have gotten stops there, even if he was getting really good contests. So yeah, like Franz has his issues with physical tools, and his strength and, you know, traditional run jump athleticism, but he is an athletic dude, like full stop.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have a couple of points on that. Like, number one, yeah, in watching the Florida State game, Raekwon Gray like absolutely tosses him into the basket. And it definitely was not an offensive foul. It was just like he's part of that. I mean, Raekwon Gray's like a monster, just in terms of his driving ability. And you know, if you're just in Raekwon's way, you're going to end up in the stanchion. But also,
he's
like,
so cool. I love Raekwon.
Oh, I love
he's
Raekwon
like,
Gray.
As our friend PD says, he's like, if he's honestly, I think our friend Cosmos, I guess formerly Cosmos, Brian, was I think the first to say like Raekwon is like if you zapped Zion with an anti-athleticism ray.
That's actually like, good. I remember him putting that on Twitter now. I think
yeah,
about it.
He's extremely cool and fun. But yeah, I mean, that's nothing.
It's besides the point, but it's perfect, yeah. Man.
It's so perfect.
It is perfect. And he still has like, I mean, it just, he's not really much of a leaper, but like he's got a little bit of
fun.
He's just fun. Very vibes prospect, but
extreme vibes. Yeah.
With Franz's recovery though, like I clipped something today. I was just like, one of the best sequences I think I've ever seen out of somebody. He gets slightly back cut, but notices it within like a quarter of a second, which that's already impressed with me. Like getting back cut, not good, but like if you can notice it before the guys even pass you, that's pretty impressive. Fights through two screens. And he, like, that's one of the things that's also really impressive. Like you mentioned, he can sometimes get walled off, but also like the fact that he's able to fight through and over screens as well as he does at 6'9" is kind of remarkable. Most guys who are that size just are too long and like are all arms and they can't get around screens. Like Giannis has that problem. Jonathan Isaac has that problem. Like sometimes you are just too long to actually get over screens, and Franz is able to kind of combat that, which is awesome. But he chases over screens. I think it's on MJ Walker. And he pulls up for three. Franz is there, jumps from probably like 5 or 6 feet out and has the contest. MJ goes right. And then before MJ's even passed him, Franz is back down on the ground, has his hips flicked, gets on his back hip and is able to, you know, contest from behind and then contest at the rim. And I'm like, There are very few guys in the NBA who can even do that.
Franz is going to be a monster rear view contester. Like he's no Matisse Thybulle in that vein. I mean, nobody is. Like, he's definitely going to be a really good rear view contester, which is like so good. Like, he's going to be really good. Again, like, he's so scheme versatile, which we'll get to. Like, he can defend as like so many roles. Like he's someone who you can legitimately throw, I think, at the point of attack in like a hard drop, like a Milwaukee drop. I think maybe not Milwaukee's drop specifically, but like, or like, it'll take a team that like is more pull up than slashing oriented to get the most out of Franz there. And like, you'll need scheme, but like, he can do it because of like you said, the recovery tools and how he reattaches over screen. That's what you need from your on ball defenders in that scheme, which I feel like so much of that nuance is lacked in discussion of, you know, drop coverage when it comes to, you know, Gobert and Brook Lopez. That's a conversation for
no, it's all the big, it's all the big. It's always the big's fault. Don't forget if a player went like, dude, I not to go on a rant, but like, I posted a video just of like every single pick and roll possession from the first half in game one. And the amount of people who quote tweeted with like, oh no, he got abused. Chris Paul was 10 of 16. I'm like, but look at Drew Holiday getting blown up at the point of attack. Look at PJ Tucker getting screened into the abyss. Like, at some point you can contest the shit out of something, but like, people are just going to hit shots. It's offenses. It trumps defense almost every time in the NBA. That's how it works. You have to be a lot better on ball and at the point of attack. And like, specifically for the Pacers, I think that's why it makes sense. Like, we, you know, I think you and I would be the same. This like, drafting for fit is a sham. Like, there are just very few rookies that are ever going to have a real impact that's positive in their rookie year, unless they're like Cade. Like, even Cade might struggle to have, I mean, he probably won't struggle to have a positive impact, but like, there are going to be moments that are rough.
He'll have his moments, like as will every rookie ever.
Yeah,
like even the greatest ones, like LaMelo had his moments this year. Like, Zion had plenty of his moments. Luka had his moments. Like, they all do.
Yeah, but it's just, it's hard to actually be like a super high impact guy who's contributing to like a playoff rotation. But in terms of like looking at a guy who, like, I mean, I always say, like, my thing is you want to draft the best player available who you know you can develop and is going to have the best opportunity in your system, like, or not even just system, but just in your organization. So, like, Goga Bitadze probably was the best pick when the Pacers picked. They should not have picked him. They should have either traded out of that pick or found a better way to get value because he hasn't even played 1,000 minutes yet.
Kevin Porter. I wanted Kevin Porter so bad.
Yeah, I know that would have been fantastic, but it didn't happen. We don't need to think about it. Yeah. So looking at that, like Franz at 13 is fantastic. That is like a good pick.
There are 12 guys in this draft to me that are like really worth a damn, like early in the draft. And Franz is like very clearly one of those 12. He to me is a value like anywhere past like 8. And, you know, I consider him as high as like 6, I mean, for the right team, like he is extremely good. And so, you know, we'll continue talking about, but yeah, like 13 is an excellent, excellent value for me. And like, I think it's extremely conceivable that he falls there.
Yeah, definitely. And all right. So like in moving more onto the defense, like we've talked about scheme versatility, and I think it's funny because looking at this Pacers team, it's hard because 2 years ago they were a really damn good defense. Like they finished, I think, 6th. Yeah, they were 6th, and then they were 3rd the year before in terms of defense. This past year, we're not going to talk about it. It was bad. Part of it's like, it was miserable. You look at this entire roster. So like you have a lot of guys who are okay, like better as team defenders and scheme defenders than being good point of attack defenders, like Malcolm Brogdon. Is probably a little bit better guarding up a position. Caris LeVert is Caris LeVert, and he's not very good at defense, just to be completely honest. We saw that in Indiana. We saw that in Brooklyn. I'm hoping that he'll improve. He has moments on ball, but like the off ball is really rough for him. But like looking at Franz, he would be the one guy who you can look at that you can kind of do anything with, like him and Miles. I don't know if Miles is going to be on the team. I don't know what that's going to look like. But just in terms of adding a guy like that to the roster, who is able to help you. It's not papering over things is the wrong way to put it, but like he just gives you the optionality to be flexible. Like having forwards and wings on the roster is so important because it allows you to be more versatile in your lineups, but also like it just gives you the opportunity to do more because TJ Warren is the only guy who's been a real probably plus at the point of attack as a defender over the last year and a half. And he didn't even play this last year. So it's like, you know, but adding Franz would be huge in just upgrading that into the roster.
Sorry, just noticed that France moved on in the U19. So
Oh, really?
Yeah, they came back against Serbia. So we'll get Chet versus Wembanyama.
Oh, tomorrow. Fantastic!
Excellent. If you're, this is an extreme tangent, but if you're in a draft mood after this and you're feeding more basketball. You know, if you're watching this either like today or tomorrow, you know, whenever it comes out, actually it'll be after the game, anytime in the future, like go back and watch the USA versus France U19 game. It'll be amazing.
Yeah. And also don't forget to watch Nigeria versus the US tonight because KZ Akpala is going to drop 40. It's going to be awesome. And I can't wait. It's probably not going to happen, but it sounds nice in my head.
Former Pacer, KZ Akpala.
Oh shit. I forgot that was a thing.
I mean, technically.
Yeah, for a second. In a way.
That was a nice trade for Indy. But
yeah, it worked out all right. Yeah. But
okay, Franz. Scheme versatility. The only like caution I want to wager is that like I think like Franz can do basically everything. He's definitely best as like a weak side help defender. Mm-hmm. So if you're asking him to be your stopper,
bad.
He can do it. But one, it's not like it's just not like the most ideal because he's going to have his limitations and it's just not the best for his development. I mean, ideally you have a defense that, you know, has, you know, Franz and guys like Franz who you can deploy in a multitude of ways. Because like I said, Franz is really best as like a weak side help defender defending in 2-on-1s, like being the guy defending both the tag and the lift or X outs, or you know, just like, because he can change directions in small spaces. His instincts and his anticipation are just god tier. His verticality on contests is amazing. Like he can even play dropping big. Like he did it at times this season where he would masterfully dance between
the floater and the lob and deter shots. I'm not sure. Have you seen the Michigan versus Northwestern game?
I have not. It's one of the games I downloaded yesterday.
You need to watch it. And anyone else who can get their hands on it.
I have heard that it is the game. So
yeah, it is one of the best prospect games I've seen all season. Maybe the best, honestly. Like, just think on top of my head. Like, that defensive game was incredible. Like, and really, I think it's a great showcase of his versatility. Like I said, just like the weak side instincts as a rim protector, the movement skills in terms of just omnidirectionality, like changing directions, moving forward, backward, sideways. He's just got all of that. And he's, again, like can play basically every role on defense. Like, I do think there like is like some very back end small ball five equity with Franz. Like, I don't know if like that's really going to be a thing, but it's something I certainly would like to see a team try, because he's, again, super large, strong. The issue with, you know, many small ball lineups is people have been, you know, yelling about forever, and especially this playoffs. A shout out to our pal Jackson Frank.
Yes.
With the Clippers, especially, like, you need rim protection for small lineups to work. Like, that's why, like, I mean, first of all, like the Warriors small ball was not small, like, because they had Kevin Durant and like often played like Looney and Bogut and Azili, but like Draymond is a spectacular small rim protector or non-center size rim protector. And like Franz, well, you know, obviously not close to that level, I think can be some of that. So I think I would love to see a team experiment with that, even if it's like a disaster. Like, I think it's worth trying. But yeah, like, he is so scheme versatile. I do think there are roles where he's going to be better and roles that I want to see him in more. But like in a pinch, if you have like guys injured or certain rosters, like you need him to be a stopper. Like, he can do it. Again, it's not like his ideal role, but like he's not going to be like stranded out there. Like, he can certainly do it. And having someone who just doesn't really have defensive weaknesses is so, so valuable. Like of course Franz is going to struggle in some matchups, like against like really crazy strength based wing creators like Jimmy Butler. Franz might have issues. If you want to put him on like Trey or something, which, you know, I don't know why you do. You know, he's probably going to struggle. But I mean, he's as weakness proof a defender as you can realistically ask for while having very strong strengths.
Yeah, no, that's such a good point. And I think just speaking philosophically too, like one of the reasons I got so frustrated with the Clippers is like, we're talking about, like, it's not even that you can't go small. It's more like there has to be a purpose behind it in some ways. Like, you, and it's not even like you don't have to have a guy who's going to block shots out there, but like, it's kind of like if you are going to go small, there has to be ways to, okay, either you're stopping drives from getting there at all, or you have some kind of rim protection on the back end. Cause you can't do it. Like, if there isn't a way that you're consistently cutting off drives or trying to alter shots, then you're going to get eviscerated at the rim. And the Clippers really struggled with that a ton this postseason. Part of that's like, yeah, they didn't have Kawhi for part of the stretch, but also it's just like, okay, well, Reggie Jackson was just rough on defense, as good as he was offensively. Like, his defense was pretty eh. And like, they just had a lot of issues with that. And part of that's too, like, I don't understand
when your best rim protector is Nick Batum, like, that's not gonna fly.
It's a little problematic. Playing Marcus Morris and drop, problematic. Because I think he actually might have a negative wingspan. I can't remember for sure, but it's like, close to it.
I mean, he has a negative wingspan and a negative affinity for playing defense. Like, So like,
that's a great way of putting it. So I guess the last thing I want to hit on then, I mean, overall, just looking at Franz, like, I mean, I think a lot of people will get caught up in the fact that he's not an on-ball creator and say like that he doesn't have upside or something, but I just think it's worth noting that all of this stuff combined and together, like, I think there's this idea, like, I threw this out yesterday, that people think that he doesn't have upside and he's coming out like this. And I'm like, I just vehemently fight back on that. Because number one, he's super young. Number two, like, most players just aren't going to be a franchise cornerstone, but I think he's a guy who could be the cornerstone of a really good roster. Like, he's going to be one of the three or four best players on a really good team. And that matters. Like, that means a lot, because he's not just like some quintessential fifth wing who you're hoping will hit spot up threes and play some defense. Like, he's a guy who is going to be highly impactful, should be a starter in the league for quite some time.
Yeah. Like, upside is just not as simple as like great physical tools, like great scorers. Like, well, I think like obviously physical tools like is an important component to upside. and like, you know, being able to like create for, you know, the high end primaries matters, and being able to score matters. And like, as we've, you know, touched on, like, that's an issue for Franz. Like, again, like, really young for his age, like, has physical tools. Like, Franz is a toolsy dude, like, we've been getting into. And it's not about physical tools. It's about functional application of physical tools for upside. It's like, can you use or improve in a way to where you can really utilize those tools to your greatest advantage? And like, Franz obviously can, like, as we've gotten to many times in terms of his rim protection, and just his overall team defense and his passing. You know, like, he's a lot less traditionally athletic than a guy like Cassius Stanley, as we mentioned earlier. But Cassius, you know, doesn't really have ways he can really apply his physical tools, because he lacks the feel or like the handle, or, you know, just he lacks pretty much every way you could really need to apply those physical tools. And that limits his upside greatly. You know, not to rag on him, but like, again, another example of like the age thing. Like, Cassius was extremely old for a freshman, which is an issue. Yeah, Franz is definitely a guy who has a pretty, you know, a fair ceiling. I don't think he's ever going to be anything incredible as an on-ball creator. But, like, he has, like, obvious all-league defense upside to me. Like, very, very obvious all-league defense upside, which is so, so valuable while being, like, I think he can be, like, a, you know, solid fourth offensive player. Again, that's someone like every team needs at Franz's ceiling. Like, that's someone every team needs, and especially like playoff teams, is absolutely invaluable. Like, I mean, it's like I've seen this comp, and it's like it's not perfect. But, like, broadly, like, the Franz McHale comp, just like philosophically speaking, works. Like, there's like, I think McHale's probably like a better offensive player than, you know, he's gonna be much better offensively, and just is a better self creator than Franz. But like, just that kind of idea. Someone who doesn't need to carry high usage to really add value offensively, and then it's just going to be amazing defensively. So yeah, Franz is fantastic. He is going to be an extremely good NBA player. I'm pretty confident in that. And yeah, like at 13, he's a steal. Like, I mean, I think there's likely to be quite a few good players available at 13 who I would very much like for the Pacers and for any other team. Just because of the way this draft seems like it's going to shake out. But Franz is certainly going to be one of those guys who I think would be awesome.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, man. And I actually do have one more question. What do you think about his fit with Domas? Because I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are probably going to bring up. Like, just generally speaking, like, I think it's entirely possible that we enter this next season with the roster fully intact for the most part, outside of maybe a couple of free agents who walk. It does. I mean, the front office and Rick Carlisle in the last press conference really left the door open for anything to happen. But I would just, I mean, just generally speaking, it's more likely that Miles will get traded than Domas gets traded. That's just how the NBA tends to work. Like, what do you think about the fit of them together potentially?
All right. I think, assuming Franz shoots, which I think, you know, most likely, well, it's great. I mean, two very tall, very smart people enabling each other. Like, I think, you know, Franz Domas pick and rolls, or DHO keeps, awesome. Like, can just be beautiful. Franz working as a passer. I think Domas is a great guy to help work on his development as a cutter and as a scorer, because he will enable those easy attempts, like, get him working on, like, the veer cuts and the back doors that, you know, Domas can thrive on, and just put Franz in those actions. And I think he can really, you know, improve there and be impactful. And like I said, like, I think you could do some funky stuff, like running like Franz is like the DHO guy with Domas as like the perimeter ball handler. It's just like, you can really never go wrong with, you know, smart, tall, you know, skilled dudes. And because you're probably not going to sacrifice spacing with Franz, I think it's really fun. So just like another, like, just another option. Like, again, like, Franz isn't a guy you're drafting to be your high usage scorer. And like, the Pacers obviously need to figure that out one day, but like, Franz, you know, it's just someone you draft, like when you have that score, like, if you're going to get that score, like, he is an important piece in place, like that second wing. I think that fit is extremely fun. That is a cool idea.
Yeah. I'm very excited about that. And I'm psyched too, because, like, I mean, Rick is so good at just applying everyone on the roster to try and make everything work together. Like, okay, if you're good at something, we're going to find a way to utilize it. Like, we're going to get the most out of this roster. So, like, the idea of Franz on it is fantastic to me. And I hope it happens. But There are a lot of interesting picks at 13, and I'm looking forward to it and to talking more about it with you. But Ben, this was awesome, man. Do you have anything that you want to plug or like anything that you want to mention before you get out of here?
No, just follow me on Twitter at Ben_Pfeiffer_. Where I'll be posting like my, you know, draft voice notes and clips and whatever random.
They're things. Very good. So I recommend following Ben.
Much appreciated. Yeah, that's it. Is that your draft board behind you?
That is my draft board. I literally bought a, I got that, that invested this year. I bought, I think it was 2 months ago. I got it.
I love that. I think that's amazing. I just have it in my notes app. Like,
oh, I have it. So I had it in my notes app at first, but like, I just like people like throw everything up. So I have like, I have like a top 50 going, and then I have like all the other names in the second round, on the other far side. So
can we get a sneak peek?
Sneak peek. So right now,
I'll share mine too.
Well, I'm not trying to go too far on this, because I do want, I'm probably going to put a top 50 out because I don't feel like doing a top 60.
I'm not going to get 60 guys this year.
Yeah, I don't feel like doing 60. I feel pretty comfortable in like 45 or 50 guys.
Right up, because I'm not deranged anymore.
I could not do a top 50 write up. That would be insane. But like, I'm thinking of doing like I'll probably do a top 50 on any corner.
That was a thing to do once and never again.
Yeah, you did that. It was a bird rights, right?
No, I did that. Well, with it was like some old website, CBB Today. I did like, well, I've done top 100 every year, but like that was like I did like a write up for every single one. Oh, and that took me that took me like months, and like it was a cool thing, and I'm glad I have that. But I'm just never.
You could do a Ross Homan like 200 page draft guide again if you really want. But no, I have okay. So I'll give you my top 10 right now. My top 10 is Cade Mobley, Jalen Green, Jalen Suggs, Josh Giddey at 5, Moses Moody at 6, Rocco Percussion at 7.
Oh, I love you. That's great.
8 is Scotty Barnes, 9 is Jaden Springer, and 10 is Keon currently.
Okay, we have extremely similar boards. You're a good guy.
I appreciate it, Ben. I'm trying my best. I'm filling my Ben Pfeiffer role on Twitter. That's the goal.
I mentioned that like earlier, like there are like 12 guys. Like I think this draft really falls off to me after 12. I have Cade and Mobley, obviously. I have Mobley in tier one. He's like I just like can't keep myself away.
Yeah, no, he's like I'm talking about this with PD tomorrow on another pod, but like the way that Rockets people are talking about Evan Mobley is
I'm gonna keep my mouth,
man. It's absolute insanity.
I'm gonna keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, it's a lot, but
yeah. And then I have my next tier. I have Green, Giddey, and Springer. I just like my creator bet things. And then the last guys that are worth a damn to me are Suggs, Moody, Keon, Rocco, Franz, and then Scotty Barnes and Sharif Cooper. So
yeah, I think because I had Sharif, and I know you and I disagree on James Bouknight, but I have Bouknight number 12 right now. But
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. Well, Ben, this was really great, man. I appreciate you taking the time, and we'll definitely have to talk again sometime soon because this has been great. Sure, you got any fun plans for the weekend, or what are you up to?
I'm house sitting. I'll be hanging out with my dog, who you may have heard.
You will have heard.
So I'm hanging out, watching basketball, not too much.
Nice, keeping it exciting. I will be watching basketball too. Well, man, I'll talk to you later. To everyone listening, of course, go follow Ben, and most importantly, just have a good rest of your day.